You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
I want to tell you a story about abundant life. It's a story about being lost and then being found. It's a story about being blind and then being able to see. You'll never believe it. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. You see, I was in town a couple years back getting some much-needed supplies when I stumbled across Jesus and his disciples. You know, us shepherds have quite a soft spot for Jesus. Shepherds in our culture are kind of the bottom of the totem pole. We're seen as unclean. We tend to be a ragtag group of tattered and weather-worn souls. Our clothes are well-worn and threadbare. We smell a whole lot more like the outside than soap. Our work days are long, and our bed is often made of stones. We tend our sheep at all costs. When a wolf or a bear threatens the flock, we fight them off, often using our staff or stones, or our bare hands if necessary. And yet, it was us, this group of marginalized, unprivileged ruffians who were the first ones to hear about his birth. The night was as silent as death. Cold seemed to seep right through your robe and penetrate all the way down to the bone. The black canvas sky was littered with stars that seemed to shine just a little bit brighter than normal. All of a sudden, an angel appeared in dazzling white, blazing before us. I tell you what, I was never so frightened in all of my life. This angel began telling us about the birth of a baby. But not just any baby. The baby, the one we've been waiting for, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She told us where we could find this baby. And suddenly, the sky was filled with hundreds and thousands of angels. The beating of their wings was like a mighty rushing wind. And talk about a concert. I've never heard anything like it in all my life. And I probably never will again. They began praising God like you've never seen. It sends shivers up my spine just to think about it. And then, just as quickly as they came, they were gone. And don't you know, we were off like a shot, racing across the field to find him. We'd been invited to a royal birth. Us. A bunch of nobody's shepherds. Now that's abundant life. Well, anyway, to get back to my story, Jesus was with his disciples, and they were asking him about this blind man. And they were asking Jesus who had sinned, the blind man or his parents. You see, in my culture, when somebody has a disability, like being crippled or blind, we attribute it to sin. Maybe he had sinned. Maybe his parents had sinned, but this was definitely looked at as a punishment of sorts. Well, Jesus answered them and said that neither he nor his parents had sinned, but that this has happened so that God's might be, his glory might be displayed through this man's life. It just goes to show you that things aren't always the result of sin. Sometimes God uses hard situations so that he can be glorified. Then Jesus goes and spits on the ground and starts making mud pies. And then he throws the mud pies in the guy's eyes. Talk about weird. I mean, if somebody started throwing mud pies in my eyes, I'd freak out. But he didn't freak out. He let Jesus do it. And then Jesus told him to go and wash it off. And you know what happened? When he came back, the guy could see. Talk about crazy, right? I mean, nobody in town believed it. Everybody had known this guy from birth, and he had always been blind. And they kept questioning him and asking him to tell his story over and over and over. They just couldn't believe it. Isn't that like us sometimes? God does something amazing, and we're so skeptical, we just can't believe it. So these town folks drag this poor guy in front of the Pharisees to see what they had to say. He must have been scared to death. This man had spent his entire life as a beggar, and now he had to stand in front of the holiest men in town. I would have been shaking in my sandals, I tell you what. Now, all of this had happened on the Sabbath, and you know we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So when the Pharisees heard the story, they claimed that Jesus couldn't possibly be from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. Talk about missing the point. I mean, Jesus had just done an incredible miracle. He healed a blind man, and they can't see it because they're such sticklers for the law. Kind of makes you wonder who the real blind ones were. Well, the Pharisees couldn't figure out what had happened. So they bring in the guy's parents and start asking them what had happened. And his parents tell him, "We have no idea. Why don't you go ask our son? He's of age. He can tell you what happened." Has that ever happened to you? Folks start going above your head trying to figure out what's happening because they can't figure it out. And the people above you have no idea what's going on either. So they call the guy back and ask him how it happened again and again. They keep asking him what's going on. They thought Jesus was obviously a sinner because he was working on the Sabbath. Well, this guy tells them the best line ever. He says, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I see." What about you? Can you see what's going on here? Well, they keep arguing with the man. And finally, he tells the Pharisees, "You know what? If Jesus wasn't from God, he couldn't have healed me like he did." Well, the Pharisees get steaming hot mad. Who is this beggar to talk to them like that? So you know what they did? They kicked him out of church. Here is a guy who is praising God for what he's just done, and he gets kicked out of church. I mean, for the first time in this poor guy's life, he's physically able to see the faces of his family, the blazing sun, the beautiful blue sky, the birds flying around. He's able to see children's faces light up with laughter. He can see the beautiful colors of all the different flowers. He can see animals and grass and trees. But most importantly, he sees that Jesus is from God because his spiritual blindness has been healed as well. The Pharisees, on the other hand, have the law. They've been devoting their lives to following it letter by letter. They've studied it and know its ways. But instead of using it to lead them to the heart of God, they've used it as a noose around the neck of the Jews. They've made communing with God so incredibly difficult that they themselves are unable to bear the burden. They've been too blinded to see the truth that Jesus came to fulfill the law and to set us free. That's the blind leading the blind, if you ask me. Well, Jesus tries to help the Pharisees see straight. So he tells them a couple of stories about shepherds. "You see, I told you we shepherds like this Jesus. He's a good old boy." He starts telling them about a sheep pen. He tells them that if you don't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but try to climb in some other way, you're a thief and a bandit. "You see, we shepherds, when we come home at night, we bring our sheep into a pen, and we make this pen by setting up boulders all around and then putting briars on top so the sheep don't jump out in the middle of the night. And we leave this opening in the center so we can come in and out. If you're trying to get into the pen any other way but through that gate, you're definitely up to no good." Then he tells them that the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see, two or three of us shepherds might use the same pen, and we put all of our sheep in that pen together, and they get mixed up in the middle of the night, and you can't tell whose is whose. But in the morning, each one of us have our own special call that we use to call our sheep, and we call each one of them by name. And our sheep know our voice. Isn't that what every human being wants? To be known by name? To have someone care for us so deeply that they are intimately acquainted with us on a first name basis? By the way, that's also how you can tell the difference between a shepherd and a butcher. A shepherd leads the sheep out. A butcher pushes or prods the sheep out. And when the shepherd has all of his sheep out, he goes ahead of them and leads them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. They'll run from a stranger. I hope I'm always so discerning. I hope that I can always hear the voice of God and that I always run from the voice that would lead me astray. Well, the Pharisees were still acting like a couple of knuckleheads, and they didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. So he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and bandits, but the sheep didn't listen to them." He told them, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." He was trying to get the Pharisees to see that they had their noses all bent out of joint for the wrong thing. They were trying to use the law for salvation, and they were so worried about keeping the letter of the law, they were missing the heart of the law. They were missing the fact that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. They were so upset that Jesus had worked on the Sabbath, they missed the fact that he'd just done a miracle. Jesus was trying to get them to see that it is only through him that we are saved, not the law. Jesus is the good shepherd who lovingly takes care of his sheep and lays down his life for his flock. I don't know if those old Pharisees ever got it, but I sure hope you do. You see, the good life isn't about all the stuff that you accumulate. Not about the perfect job or fancy house or fancy cars or lots of toys. An abundant life is found through the person of Jesus Christ. It is through him that we can find peace with God, because without him, we're God's enemies. It is through Jesus that we find freedom in our lives, freedom from what the world says we have to do or have to be, freedom from what the world says we have to look like or have to have in order to be happy. Through Christ, we are truly free to be exactly who God has made us to be. It is through Christ that we have meaningful relationships with others. We are put on this earth to learn how to love God and learn how to love others as we love ourselves. It is through Jesus that we learn how to be a people of love and forgiveness, a people set apart to do good works, a people of grace. And the Lord has assured us that his grace is sufficient for all our needs. Too often we settle for a life whose goal is to have just enough to get by, just enough to survive. Too often we settle for satisfactory or tolerable. Jesus didn't talk about a satisfactory life. The word he used means overflowing, more than we could ever possibly use. It's like standing in the ocean with a Dixie cup. You could never contain it, no matter how hard you tried. It's abundant life with the capital A. It's in Jesus that we find our true calling or vocation in life. God doesn't want us to just get by and earn a paycheck. It is through Jesus that we are given godly passions, those things that we just can't shut up about. And it is through Jesus that we can take those godly, our vocation is when we take those godly passions and the world's great need and we find where they intersect. This is abundant life. But most importantly, it is through Jesus that we are able to commune with God. Before him, we were separated from God without hope. But through his death and resurrection, the veil in the temple has been torn in two, and we are given access to the very heart of God. Jesus gives us life that doesn't end, and it's a life that is rich in grace and overflowing with love. It is a life that is lavish in forgiveness and teeming with peace. Life that is abounding with mercy and exuberant joy. You see, Jesus has left the 99 to come looking for us, the one lost sheep. He has scooped us up and placed us on his shoulders and brought us home, making us members of his family. And that, my friends, is abundant life indeed. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that through you we have abundant life, that we are freed from the law, freed from what the world tells us we have to be or do, but we find our true self in you. And I pray that you would help each one of us to let go of the things that drag us down and keep us from living an abundant life. I pray that you would help us to be focused on you and what you've given us and what you call us to be. And I thank you that through your Son, we can have abundant life indeed. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.